This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Tourism is a big part of the Michigan economy, but drawing visitors to your city, even if you're lucky enough to be on one of the lake shores, takes some real effort. Few small towns in Michigan have had the success that Saugatuck has had. I was reading an MLive article about Saugatuck's success, and it largely is credited to one woman, Felicia Fairchild. She was the director of the Saugatuck Douglas Visitors Bureau. She recently left that position, and she's here to talk with us about how she turned Saugatuck into an international vacation destination. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
You've been boosting Saugatuck for the past 27 years. Give us some idea of how things have changed. Tell us the state of tourism there when you started and what it is today.
Well, when I started, it was largely because the community found out that I had a tourism background that spanned not just U.S. domestic tourism, but also international tourism. And the community was in a bit of a problem at that time. Tourism had taken quite a dip, and they were trying to find someone who could help them to put the community on the map.
Now, you know, in my history as a reporter, I've worked in small towns, and small towns usually don't think internationally. I mean, they don't think that big, unfortunately. How did you begin to promote Saugatuck?
Well, my experience largely when I came here was international to begin with, and I realized at that time that the American Society of Travel Agents pretty much ruled travel and tourism. That was before the internet. And so what I attempted to do was to bring Saugatuck to the focus of travel agents, both here in the U.S. and internationally, by attending one of their largest conventions and doing it in a way that was kind of unique.
Where was that convention?
It was in Taipei.
Right. So this is not the way people think when they're in a small town in local government or local promotions. So what kind of recognition by travel publications or in the parlance of politicians, how did you develop that earned media?
Well, in the beginning, since not many people had heard of Saugatuck, it was important to create events or to create promotions that attracted attention. And Taipei was one of the original ones because I did call the ASTA headquarters and tell them that we were going to be the first small town in the world to ever exhibit at an ASTA convention. And if you haven't been to one of them, most of the exhibits are countries like Portugal, Spain, and they are huge. You know, they can be a block long. And so we asked for a little space that we could get underneath a staircase somewhere, but we put out there in advance that we were going to be the mouse that roared, the first little town to be totally commissionable to travel agents worldwide.
You still have to catch their attention, though. What did you bring to your little stairwell booth that caught their eye?
Well, it wasn't so much what we brought to the booth. It was the advanced publicity. We got in their high-gloss ASTA convention magazine, and they did an article. I called them, I told them what we were going to do, and they thought it was fun and humorous. So they wrote an article on it, and then when we actually executed it, the China Daily Mail and CNN picked up on it. So we were on CNN as the mouse that roared. So we got about $28,000 worth of publicity out of that, if we had had to pay for it.
Right. I want to ask you, you mentioned your background was an international background. How did that help you develop tourism in the Saugatuck Douglas area? What did you do before?
Before, I worked for Pan American Airways, and I worked for the president of the company and ran an international program for him with the employees, which had a lot to do with marketing, advertising, public relations, and public affairs.
How long did it take the people of Saugatuck to realize what they had in their midst?
Well, I don't think we ever really talked about it too much, but I think they've seen the results.
Okay. I read that you had a significant misstep at one point. You looked at the Lake Michigan beaches, and it reminded you of the famous Costa Blanca in Spain. Costa Blanca, white beaches. So you designed this campaign for the white coast of Michigan, which some people saw as racist. How did that come about?
Well, I lived in Spain, and I lived on the Costa Blanca, and I was an interpreter there 1 year after college, taking tours along the Costa Blanca. And it looked very similar to what we have here in West Michigan. And, of course, that's interpreted as the white coast, meaning white sand. So in working with some of my neighbors up and down the lakeshore, we were looking for a way to promote ourselves internationally and domestically. And I said, well, why don't we compare ourselves to a well-known place like the Costa Blanca and call it the White Coast of Michigan, America's Costa Blanca, something like that. And it just never occurred to us that it might be interpreted that way. But there were a couple, I guess, commissioners in Muskegon that were upset about it, so we abandoned the campaign.
Yeah, I would imagine that was not something you wanted to bring down on your area, the last thing you wanted to bring down on your area in that case. Your Art Coast of Michigan campaign was better received. Tell us about that.
Well, that's what built the area. What I did was use my marketing abilities to have focus sessions in the community and find out what our distinctive difference was from all of our neighbors up and down the lakeshore. We all had beaches, we all had shops, we all had restaurants. But how were we to differentiate ourselves? And it was our art, that we had so many art galleries, and just about every third house or home in the Saugatuck area has an artist of some kind. And if you arrive here and you're not an artist, you generally leave here being one of sorts, such as me, coming here with no photographic experience and then winding up being a photographer. So that's what we did, was identify us as the Art Coast of Michigan, and it has worked extremely well. It's been a brand that has held well for us. It's resonated, and we're going to be keeping that brand going forward.
You opposed some development, like fast food restaurants, truck stops. Some cities look at any development as good development. What did you see that some other cities have not?
We were aiming toward a higher-end clientele. We're also very protective of our environment, and truck stops are notorious for not being very environmentally friendly, and it just didn't fit into this image of one-of-a-kind. We just weren't fast food-oriented. We're more slow food-oriented, and we wanted to become a culinary destination, and you don't do that with a lot of fast food restaurants.
Now that you're not promoting Saugatuck and Douglas, what's next for you?
Well, I have some interesting plans. I've worked with a Dr. Magnini, who is a professor at Virginia Tech, and if you know anything about their hospitality and tourism program, it's because of him that they are so highly ranked. And he got interested in what I was doing and how I was doing it here, so he came and helped me do a 5-year strategic plan. That was last year we launched it. And in process, he got to know how I brought Saugatuck from where it was 27 years ago to where it is today. And he and the dean of the college felt that it would be important for me to write a book about that. So they've offered me a book deal, which I'm taking. And I'm also looking to go forward. I would really like to get my PhD. So I'd like to do it in Europe if possible.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I know. Isn't that nice? I'm leaning toward the University of Surrey. Their program allows you to combine a master's and PhD together. And I'm also, I don't know if you've heard about this, but Chandra Martinez wrote this article for MLib, and I don't know how she found out all of these things about my background, but it was absolutely, I would say, a skillfully executed article. She revealed things that I hadn't thought of or talked about in years. And part of this is that my grandfather, not my great-grandfather, wrote a tourism book, and I was not aware of that until this past year. If you go to archive.org, it pulls up this tourism book written by my grandfather, who is a physician and surgeon, and he did a trip from Toledo, Ohio, to the state of Washington, visiting Glacier National Park and Yellowstone. And
when was this?
1921.
Oh, so not great roads.
No, it was before the highway system was built, and they did it in a Model T. I discovered this just this past year. I had heard something about it in my childhood, but it didn't resonate. And discovered it this last year, and lo and behold, within the last few months, Google and a National Educational Foundation have republished this book, citing it as a culturally significant work. And I plan to, on the 100th anniversary of his trip, repeat that trip and follow his book. And if you read it, you will see he even talked about not only where they stayed and what roads they took, but what they had for breakfast and how many miles they traveled per day. So it's perfectly executed roadmap to get you there. And I would like to document the differences and what happened in those days and how it is today, and see if I can even find some of those places where they stayed and where they visited, and take photos from the very same positions that he did and show how things have changed.
Well, we wish you well in all your pursuits and travels. Thanks for talking with us. Felicia Fairchild is the director of the Saugatuck Douglas Visitors Bureau. After 27 years, she left that position to pursue those other interests we've been talking about. Thanks very much.
Thank you.